Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Always ecstatic to join you. That's The Savage Truth. It remains in the past, it is today, and it will be in the future. So happy to have you join me. If you're new to the channel, well, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome. Please tell someone else about the show and come on back. Bring somebody else with you. For those of you who are not new, who are returning, thank you so very much for your loyalty and your consistency and your support. It means absolutely everything to me. Now, I have an ask for those of you who are new and returning, and it is always the same, and it is to please share, like, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And we're going to get into some things today. You know, I'm really ecstatic. It's just happy to see November 5th. That's a whole lot of Black people returning to their original voting party, the Republican Party. Okay. Now, growing up in Black church, okay, my faith was my foundation. It still is. It's a wellspring of hope and resilience that's deeply rooted in Christian teachings. It was the hymns and the sermons, the communal loves shaped by identity. It also came with a political undercurrent that was rarely questioned, a monolithic allegiance to the Democrat Party. From the pulpit to the pews, the message was clear. Being Black and being Christian meant voting Democrat. Now, that wasn't a direct sermon. I've never heard any preacher actually tell me that, but it was carried out in the undercurrent, the underlying of civil rights and slavery, and then private conversations after church in our homes and at church and things like that in the functions. This was an unspoken rule, which was so deeply ingrained that questioning it almost felt like heresy, okay? For years, I followed the path laid out before me, believing I was honoring both my faith and my heritage. Breaking away from that monolith was one of the most challenging journeys of my life. Truly, the Black church was, with all its beauty and power, has often been used as a tool to cement loyalty to a political ideology that, upon reflection, conflicted with the very Christian values it preached. The Democrat mindset I was raised with, one that embraced policies I now see as undermining my Christian faith, family, and personal responsibility, no longer made sense to me. It was a painful realization, like stepping out of a shadow into blinding light. Friends and loved ones questioned my decisions. I got into a lot of arguments. I lost a lot of friendships. Some accusing me of betrayal, of course. But deep in my soul, I knew that aligning my politics with my faith was the only way to live authentically as a follower of Christ. Today, as a proud Republican, Christian girl first, I vote my Christian values, pro-life, pro-family, pro-freedom, okay, as per given by God first, and I see how those principles align with truth, justice, and the word of God. I no longer allow cultural expectations to dictate my conscience. Instead, I stand firm in the belief that we are called to be salt and light in this world, even when it means walking against the tide. It wasn't easy to break free, but it was necessary. My hope now is that others in the Black church will take a moment to question the narrative and seek alignment with their faith over party loyalty. The truth, after all, is what sets us free. Now, to that end, I say all that to say that Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, who is a powerful pastor in Detroit, had a powerful message that couldn't come true at a more pivotal moment for America's Black community. We're witnessing the beginnings of a Black wave, a growing number of Black Americans boldly returning to the Republican Party, reconnecting with the principles of faith and family and freedom that built this very nation. This migration isn't just a political shift, it's a cultural awakening, believe that, a recognition that the Democrat Party's decades of empty promises have done little to empower Black Americans. The Black church, a long cornerstone of the community, has a vital role to play in ensuring this movement continues. Now, from the pulpit, pastors must encourage their congregation to vote their faith, to align with biblical values, and reject policies that have hindered true progress in this country. The Republican Party offers the tools for Black Americans to achieve just that. Black excellence, limited government, school choice, economic empowerment, and support of strong families. These aren't just political points, by all means. They are the very foundation for thriving communities. The Black church has always been a beacon of hope and leadership in times of change. And now is the time for it to lead boldly. By addressing the moral and spiritual consequences of our political decisions, pastors can help their congregations see through the rhetoric and embrace policies that truly uplift and empower. This isn't about loyalty to a party, folks. Jesus was not Democrat or Republican, okay? It's about loyalty to the principles that align with faith and foster real, true opportunity. The Black Wave is about more than politics, after all. It's about reclaiming a heritage of resilience, self-determination, and excellence. By stepping into the political arena with conviction, Black Americans can break free from the cycle of dependency and build a legacy of success. Now, this Pastor Sewell calls to action is an invitation for the Black church to awaken to its true potential as a catalyst for change. Together, we can ensure that this wave becomes a tide, transforming not just a community, but the entire nation. Congratulations and way to go to Pastor Sewell in Detroit. Now, I have to talk about this without laughing because Joe Biden has decided to give Hillary Clinton the medal for... I'm sorry, Rick, I'm serious. Hold on a second. On the Medal of Freedom. Okay, here we go. Okay, folks, and I need to not actually, I have to try to get through this next segment without laughing hysterically, as Joe Biden has decided to give Hillary Clinton the Medal of Freedom. Now, in what can only be described as the ultimate political participation trophy, President Joe Biden has bestowed the Presidential Medal of Freedom upon none other than Hillary Clinton. Yes, you heard that right. The same Hillary Clinton who brought us the greatest hits like Emails, what Emails? And Deplorables 101. While the Presidential Medal of Freedom is meant to honor those who have made... I'm so sorry, I can't do it. It's so funny. Okay, let me go back to the top. Now, while the Presidential Medal of Freedom is meant to honor those who have made meritorious contributions to the nation, one has to wonder if the Biden administration's idea is this of satire. After all, if losing a rigged primary in 2008, losing a general election in 2016, and managing to still polarize the country counts as merit, then Clinton is indeed the gold standard. The ceremony itself was peak Biden-era theater. With this trademark whisper speech and folksy ramblings, the president lauded Clinton as a trailblazer, perhaps referring to her uncanny ability to leave scandal in the wake of her breadcrumbs in the forest. Now, the audience nodded dutifully as they were supposed to, right? They were like the puppets and they were nodding and applauding and as if they too were trying to remember what exactly Clinton did to deserve such an honor. Maybe it was her tenure as Secretary of State, where the reset button with Russia aged like a fine milk of her unforgettable moment of what difference does that make during the Benghazi hearings. Either way, the decision to give her this medal feels about as authentic as Clinton's Southern accent during campaign sessions. But let's give credit where credit is due. This move is pure Joe Biden through and through. In his world, awarding Hillary Clinton is just another day of putting participation over accomplishment, which, like the economic policies that put spending over savings, it's almost poetic, really. One president with questionable decision-making honoring a former presidential candidate with questionable everything. Republicans can only laugh and shake their heads as the Medal of Freedom, once reserved for true heroes like Rosa Parks and Ronald Reagan, now adorns the neck of a career politician whose greatest legacy might just be her uncanny ability to dodge accountability. Cheers to the farce. We couldn't have written it better ourselves, truly. In a plot twist no one asked for, Joe Biden has reportedly been ruminating over his decision to drop out of the 2024 presidential race and his appointment of Merrick Garland as attorney general. It's almost endearing, really. If only these revelations didn't come after years of damage inflicted on the American people. Biden's newfound regrets feel like the political equivalent of spilling milk and then lamenting that you didn't buy a mop, right? Now, while hindsight is 2020, the cost of Biden's too late epiphanies have been paid by hardworking Americans who didn't get the luxury of second chances. First, there's his withdrawal from the race, a decision he now seems to regret, as if America didn't collectively sigh in relief when he finally stepped aside. Biden's presidency was a masterclass in questionable judgment, to say the least. So his late realization that maybe, just maybe, he wasn't up for another round is rich. But stepping down only after eroding the economy, botching the border security, and fueling global instability feels like closing the barn door long after the horse has bolted, run a marathon, and retired in Cancun. If this regret is keeping Joe up at night, perhaps he could reflect on the millions of Americans whose sleepless nights were caused by his administration's policies. Then there's Merrick Garland, the gift that keeps on giving, for Republicans anyway. Appointing Garland as attorney general was like handing the nation's legal system to a hall monitor with a grudge. Biden's regret over this decision is a little like Dr. Frankenstein's regretting his monster. From politicizing the Justice Department to targeting concerned parents at school board meetings, Garland's tenure has been a case study in how not to administer justice. Biden's late-breaking remorse is cold comfort to the Americans who've seen the rule of law trampled under Garland's watch. At the end of the day, Joe Biden's regrets are his and his own cross to bear. But the consequences of his decisions are a burden for the rest of us that we've had to shoulder. His presidency was a series of missteps and missed opportunities. And while his second thoughts are amusing, they're also infuriating. Okay. If Biden had exercised even a fraction of this self-awareness while in office, maybe Americans wouldn't be left clinging to this mess. But alas, regrets don't actually fix problems or policies or restore public trust. It's just a reminder of how costly poor leadership can truly be. And that, my friends, is a savage truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.